Book of Ephesians, chapter 2. I know this is old hat to most of you guys. And I'm definitely not real deep. But I see some very good and practical things that we can learn from this. And also, when I look through the book of Ephesians, one of the things I always see is God's greatness in us and what God is able to do in us and desire to do in us. Ephesians and the book of Philippians, two of my favorite books in the Bible. I see things in there that just, and God just gets so big. And not only does God get so big, He has a tendency to take me along with it. And I see how I'm not to be look at myself as a little dust speck, and I know I am when comparatively with God, but that ain't what God, that's not the way God looks at me. You read verses where God says that we're wonderfully and fearfully made, and you see things where the Word of God tells us, saying, you know all things. Boy, that just makes me, just my mind explore. I said, God, what do you mean I know all things? I don't feel like I know nothing. But God said, and you know all things. And then you gotta wonder, so what's all things? What's he talking about? And that's the kind of way this book does me, because you can look in chapter I think it's in chapter 1 where he talks about what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, verse 19, greatness of his power to us were to believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And when I look at how that Jesus made this comment, he said, and greater things shall you do. And I realize that of myself I can do nothing. But we have been partnered with Christ. And maybe I ought to shut these blinds right now. Get our teaching in here. Pray for whoever's out there, and then we'll look at our Bible in here. Okay. We started in chapter 2 last week, and I'm going to read back over some of the things we looked at, and how, in verse 1, it said, you who hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I mean, where in time past you walked according to this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the spirit and the children of disobedience. And he goes on through this and tells us how the God of this world one time worked in our lives. And then as you keep reading on, in verse 4 it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And last week, we just kind of looked over some of these verses. I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you remember, but last week we talked about how in verses 4, it's interesting that And, you know, and when the Bible was written, it wasn't divided up into chapters and verses. That's something that was done later. But it's so interesting how that when you look at the Bible and you see now it's divided in chapters and verses, how these numbers begin to mean things. You can look all through the Bible, and oftentimes you'll see these numbers come up like 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 6 being the number of man. 7 being the number of completion. 7th day, God rested. Where he finished. You know, man was made on the 6th day. And you go to Romans chapter 5, and you'll find that word grace is always connected somehow with 5. And you see it in chapter 5 in the book of Romans. And here in verse 5, you see, even when we were dead and sins had quickened us together with Christ by grace. You ever say? So see that grace come up again. And notice it raised us up, man. Verse 6. That in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So when he's finished with us, he's going to show what all he's done in us and through us and for us in ages to come. That's when he's through with you. We know that if God is working in us, right? And he says that until the day of redemption, that's when he's going to finish that purchase price. We'll see him as he is, but we're going to be like him. And so over and over you see these numbers coming up. And verses 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So we see that now salvation has come, and it's by grace through the faith of the Son of God. And so in verse 8, we got a new beginning. And 8 is always the number of new beginning. And after that, the work of the Spirit. Or as it says right here in verse 9, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it was by the work of the Spirit. So we see the work of the Spirit in verse 9. In verses 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and the good works which God hath foreordained, we should walk in them. And we looked at Romans 9 and 10 last week about how those verses, and turn back over again to Romans, just kind of go back over it again. Romans chapter 10. And you see the heart of Romans chapter 10, and this book is dealing with law. The law that was given to the nation of Israel, the Ten Commandments, per se. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What were they doing? They were still trying to be justified by the law. They were still trying to save themselves by being obedient to the law. For Christ is the end of the law. Look at that 4 again. Because of judgment. Judgment fell upon Christ. God judged Jesus Christ on the cross. Punished him for everything that mankind had done wrong. 4 horns of the altar there in the temple of God. It was there. Where you find several times, you know, in the Bible, remember, they would hold them to the horns of the altar. Wouldn't God, some of us would grab hold of the horns of the altar today and say, God, do something for us, you know. In other words, make yourself a sacrifice. That's what Jesus had done there in verses 4. He said, for Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I mean, he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But who could do the law? Peter said on the day of they came and they were trying to put these things on the Gentiles, the Levitical things. And Peter said, why do you want to put these things on them that even that we couldn't keep? No man could live up to the law but one. That was the man Christ Jesus, and he fulfilled the law. And us in him, we fulfilled the law in Christ. That new man always is obedient to the whole law of God. It never lies, never steals. Never jealous, have no envy. It's perfect in peace and power with God, that new man. And the old man can't do any of those things. He's rotten down to the core. There's nothing he can do right, that new man. I mean, that old man. And so we got to understand this warfare is going on. And in knowing that, when you do something wrong, realize it's that old man and crucify. Say, Lord, crucify this rascal. Nail him to your cross. Crucify, mortify the deeds of the flesh. And yield yourself to the Spirit. Cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm listening to the wrong person. Have your way in my life. For Christ is in law in verse 5, for Moses described the righteousness which is the law, that man that doeth these things shall live by them. But nobody could. And so it had to be by grace. It had to be by grace because nobody could live up to the law. Every person that's ever saved is saved by the grace of God. They were not saved by works of righteousness that they have done. I've had some strong debates with people who in right division, trying to show a justification in the Old Testament by the law. The law was a grace. Law was a grace because what it did, it showed you that you were a sinner. That's the reason why year by year they had to bring up those sacrifices. Why? To get rid of their sins? No. Just to admit what they were and their need for God. That was enough. If a person realizes that they need God, and that God is right, and that they're wrong, you're justified. You say, what? Look at the man. Don't you remember the parable where Jesus told that there was this publican, and then there was this Pharisee, and the Pharisee goes down, there in the temple to pray, and he said, Lord, thank you that I'm not as other men are. In other words, I keep the law. I'm obedient to the law. I tithe of all things, that I receive. I do this, I do that. He probably prayed and thanked him he wasn't a woman. Because Jews did that a lot. A woman was not equal to a man. She was lower than a man under the Jewish tradition. Not by God's tradition. This is something they invented. And he was better than the publican. And I'm not as this publican is. And what did the publican pray? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, the law had worked righteousness in his heart because he admitted what he was. And that the only hope he had was the grace of God. God's going to have to be gracious because I can't do anything. I haven't done anything to merit and to serve salvation. So, Lord, be merciful to me. While the other one went down and expected to be saved because he was such a good guy, such a good church member. I'm obedient. I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't have nothing to do with those that do. Man, I walk right and spit white. All those things. Keep my hair cut just so. Do all this stuff. you know, to make myself right. If you ain't careful, we'll fall into that same kind of Phariseeism that they did, and that they forsaking the righteousness of God, going about to establish their own righteousness. You can't make yourself righteous in the sight of God. There's nothing you can do. Your righteousness is in Christ Jesus alone. He'll work in us. He'll work through us. But I remember the character of Jesus. Every time you found him, he was always sitting around with the outcasts and the off-scouring and the derelicts of this world. The sick, the maimed, the halt. You know why they were sick and maimed and all this? Under the idea of Judaism and the law? Because they were such great sinners. Even Peter and them asked about that blind man. Lord, why is this man blind? Is it his sin or his parents' sin? He said it wasn't their sin at all. It's just sin. And this is for the glory of God. And God's going to be glorified in this man. When you're looking out here and you see the condition of the people in this world, hey, why can't we see God's glory and what He can do in these situations? Huh? Rather than looking at a bunch of old wicked sinners. Am I on the same line of thought right there?
Amen.
Look at this wicked-looking, awful crowd out here, all tattooed up and weird haircuts and whatever else is going on in their minds and hearts. I mean, I don't know. We think it's so much worse today. I'll tell you what. I wish sometimes that we could look back and see what things was like when the church first started. But they say you can go into Corinth and they had the temple priestesses which were no more than prostitutes. Walk through the town with they had things on their shoes so you'd know what they were. You could see it in the dust, and if you wanted to go find one, you could. And the stuff was abounds. Sexual immorality, covetousness. What do you think the big problem was for the Jewish leadership? It was covetousness. They coveted power. They coveted position. That's the reason why they always choose the upper most rooms. That's why they always made broad their phylacteries for power and position. Jesus said, "It shall not be so among you." Who he that shall be great amongst you shall be servant of all. As Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve.
Amen.
Find a hurt and heal it. Nine and ten, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the work of grace that we find in this word today that God has done through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, there's no groups superior to other groups. We're all the same. We were all born, all together born in sin. We were all children of Adam. And there's not one person out there that's any different. And the only thing they need do is call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall be saved. They got to want Him. That's it. We got to do something to help people. If you want to be a soul winner, to help people to want Jesus. Amen. Years ago, there was fellows at this church told me about how he came to Christ. I'm sure I shared the story, but how this old boy came to his house and cut firewood and brought him pies. And his wife baked pies for him. And he said, finally said, one night, after watching this fellow, he said, I don't know what this fellow's got. He said, but Lord, he said, I want it. That's what people need to see in us. They need to see Christ. They need to see Christ. And it's just like those Greeks that came. We would see Jesus. People need to, when they come to church, you know what they need to see? Not us. Not our nice clothes. Not necessarily a fiery sermon. Great expository skills. But they should seek Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible said God is love. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about that love of God. Unconditional. And it never fails. When people make it to these doors and they get in here, we see new people in there, we ought to do everything we can to let them know that we're glad they're here. Or to be a line foreman. So glad y'all could be here today. Look around. People see that you're really interested in them. One of our teachers this morning was up on the altar, tears running down her face. I said, there's something on your heart special this morning. They told me their class and felt sure that it was quite a number in that class that's not saved. And we prayed for the class. I said, you know, just love them. I said, you can't save them. Just love them. Let them know you love them. I said, it'll make a difference more than you can understand. You can't see it today. Since I've been back to church here, I've run into quite a few people. You know, I had that one lady call the pastor, want to know if I was still here. She come out. She wanted to come out here and thank me personally for bringing her children to church and loving on them as a family. And she wanted me to know that she had gotten saved. And she appreciated all the times I tried to get her in church. A couple weeks ago, I run into a young girl, the Dollar General over here. Highway 70. And she wanted to say, are you Brother David? I said, yeah. She said, you know who I am? I said, yeah, but I don't know what name you got. And I said, I know you wanted them girls. And there was three girls that had come on the bus. There was O'Byrne, Spencer. And we got to talking and everything. And I said, she told me about how she had gotten saved. And she said, we talked about y'all. She couldn't wait to see her mama and tell them. And she'd run into me and different things. And she was helping her dad, and he pastors two churches, and she was helping him. And one of those churches, while he was away, she talked. She talked a
because she really loved the Bible. She really loved the Lord. So appreciative of all things that God had done for her. You just don't know. But I do know this. Jesus definitely will make a difference when they can sense that we have a love and concern and a burden and compassion, and the love of God is what motivates us to do what we do. It can make a difference in people's lives. I know many of y'all got stories of the same kind. You know, it wouldn't hurt maybe you share some of them sometimes. And I encourage the believers to keep reaching out, reaching out, reaching out. Like I said, I'm a little loopy this morning. I want you to take your Bibles. Ephesians 2, look in verse 9. We looked at, you know, by grace, and we're saved. And in verse 9, it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we talked about how it was the work of Christ. It's not the works of any man. No man can save himself. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained we should walk in them. Look over in Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. I'll tie this together a little bit. Titus chapter 3 and verses, begin in verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So it wasn't the works of righteousness we have done, but the works of righteousness which he hath done, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is a faithful saying. These sayings I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So it isn't our works that saves us, but when we are yielded to the grace of God and to the Spirit of God, it's our works that can save other men, that God can work through us to reach other people. Now, salvation was finished on Calvary, but somebody's got to let people know that. And we let them know that by not just what we say, but what we live. That they can see Christ in us, not just hear Christ coming out of us, out of our words. Don't get me wrong, that's important. It's a necessity. We need to preach, cry aloud, spare not. And it don't matter, like old Brother Ed Blue said, I don't care how high you jump, just make sure you're walking straight when you hit the ground. Huh? You can praise and holler and worship God all you want to. Give him glory. But you better be walking right, talking right, living right, or you're going to be found a hypocrite. God won't let that go. He'll show us for what we are. I hope that brings a little bit of fear to us, because he will. The Bible says plain, he'll manifest a believer's works when he's being a hypocrite. He'll show it. It'll come out. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. It's going to come out. That's the reason why he said right here, be careful to maintain good works. And we can all get off to the side, you know, walking through the down through the gutters, you know? We can all get off over there from time to time. But you better let the Holy Spirit of God get you out of them gutters and get you back upon the road. Amen. Let's look down here then. verses 9 and 10, we can see how the Spirit works through us. It's not the works of any man, but it's the works of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. It is the Spirit that worked through him. He walked as a man. He was God living with God the Spirit being in control of his life. To show us, be an example in us, that we are men. But we're to yield ourselves so the Spirit of God can work and live through us the same way. That's the reason why Jesus said, in greater things shall you do. Now, that's always amazed me. I said, I don't know anybody. Is any of y'all in here ever raised a dead man? You ever raised a man from the dead? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If he's ever used you to lead a person to Christ,
amen. Right.
You did more than raise him from a physical dead. God used you to raise him to spiritual life everlasting.
Amen.
That's a greater work. I tried to tell that to a Pentecostal one time. He couldn't see it. No. He said healing and all that. I said, they just going to get sick and die.
Yeah.
He said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I said, hey, I'm glad for every person God heals and restores physically, and it's a great miracle. And it's an encouragement. And it soon fades. Believe me, it does. How many times have you seen miracles like that being slowly forgotten? How many have ever forgotten when God saved you? I bet there's a bunch of people you can think of that you know is going on in the Lord. You helped lead to Christ. You never get over that. It goes with you a long way. Great works. Take your Bibles and turn over here to Colossians. With that thought in mind. How that Christ wants to work through us. We're going to chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 11. Long book, David. But it does say it is good. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. See how much strength you're given? All might. According to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joy fills. In other words, it takes all his might and power for us to continue in long suffering with joyfulness. Any of you ever suffered for a long time? I mean a long time. Maybe with a burden of some kind. Maybe with physical health, whatever it is. But without joyfulness, what good is it to suffer? Can you suffer with joyfulness? Can you rejoice in the Lord when you're under a burden, under a yoke? He said, with joy, with all joyfulness. With joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And in his body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Now this is important. If. Don't like that word if sometimes. If you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Why did he put that if in there? Because the church, just like during that time, had a bunch of wolves in sheep's clothing. If. There's a lot of people who'll kiss the door of heaven and turn around and go out and hang themselves and go to hell. Just like old Judas. There's one condition for a person to be saved, and that is that you proceed with faith in the Son of God. He'll never leave you. You've got to receive him. If you don't, you're not going to continue. People will be glad. They can rejoice. We heard it. Jesus told the parable of the sowers. You know, they were more rejoiceful to hear the good words, but they didn't continue because they never received. For as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe. That's continuing present tense. And that's what he said right here. There's got to be continual believing. And you can't do that of yourself. It takes God. It takes God in us. So you just praise his name that you're still continuing. Then look over here in chapter 2, 6, Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. That's the word of God, the faith. That's the word of God. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, one of the ways you can tell people, hey, are born of God, they love the word of God. When they heard it taught, there's thanksgiving. They're thankful for the word of God. They're thankful for the promises of God. Hey, they realize that it is God that saved them. It's God that keeps them. It is God that worketh in them. And when they read the word of God, it's exciting to them. Because you see all these great and precious promises. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Spiritual completion. That's really why I can say, oh, I ain't worried about going to heaven. I'm already there in him. I'm not trying to make it. I'm not holding on. He's holding me. I'm complete in him. He started the work.
He's going to finish the work. Right now, he's completed the work in my spirit. My soul was saved. It's hid in him. 40 days, I'm going to get a new body. A blessed hope. 40 days, we're going to get to see him as he is. Right now, we look at him, we see him through glass. Sometimes it shouldn't be darkly, because this word ought to give us light. So we need to read and study and pray and ask God for understanding and for discernment and for growth. And we need to yield ourselves. And fellas, that's work. And God's got some work for us to do. But it can be a joyful and an easy work. All we have to do is yoke up with him. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's what we need to do. Each and every morning, we need to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I want to walk with you today. I want to walk with you today. Please walk with me and talk with me today. And when you find yourself halfway through the day, you hadn't talked to him for a while, tell him you're sorry that you've ignored him. And say, Lord, talk with me and walk with me. Let that be your life's desire and mission every day. He'll guide you where he wants you to go if you'll just walk with him. He knows what's around the next bend. This past week, a girl I witnessed to my work, she left. It was her last week. She said that she wasn't interested in religion. And I told her, I said, I wasn't either. I said, I'm interested in Jesus, a relationship with God, not religion. And I told her then, I said, if you've never looked into the claims of Christ, I said, you ought to, because you're going to die one day. And nobody's promised to tomorrow. This past week, I talked to her. I said, I want you to know, I heard you're leaving. And I said, I want you to know, I'm praying for you. I said, I'm praying for you. And she said, thank you very much. And I am. And I'm going to keep praying for you. You said, how long? But God tells me to stop, I guess. Because if I find out later she's got saved, I need to pray for her. I got her down on my prayer list, and I'm praying for her every day. First off, that she come to know the Lord. He's got a work for us all to do. He wants to work in us. He wants to work through us. Is that what we want? Do we want him to work in us, work through us, each and every day, I pray. Great teaching in here. I hope you're reading the book, kind of doing some own study, doing your own study through the week, I hope. There's so much to be learned from the book of Ephesians. I'm going to try to finish up in the book in the chapter next week, chapter 2. And we're going to be looking, I'm going to begin reading. And I want you to see this in verses 13. You know, I've been kind of looking at these numbers. Well, look in verse 12 first. When you think of verse 12, I don't know about you, I always think about Israel, 12 tribes. That's the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. Then look at verse 13. There was 12 apostles to the nation of Israel. But there was one given to the Gentiles, was there not? said they 13, right? Listen to what it says here. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's the gospel that was given to Paul for us Gentiles. That we were made nigh by the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's just a coincidence, you know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.